morning to everyone. It is good. How you doing? Good, good. You might as well smile. God has smiled. Sing it with me. I believe that he has set me free. Who is my God? Yes. Oh, yes, he smiled on me. Really, he's been. God been good to you? To me. It was amazing grace. Yes, how sweet that saved a wretch like me. Well, I once was lost. Oh, yes, but now I'm found. It was blind, but now I see. It's all because my God, oh, yes, he smiled. I believe that he has set me free. Who is my God? Who, oh, yes, he smiled on me. Yes, he's been here, my God, he's been good. Oh, yes, and he's been good to me. Amen, 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 amen. If you are visiting with us this morning, you are honored guests, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. We'll acknowledge you at the close to the end of our worship service. If you're tuning in by way of television this morning, whether by live stream or by our television program, good morning to you also. We hope and pray that we can say something that will minister to you this morning. If you have a prayer request, if you need to talk to somebody, call the number on your screen, and we'd love to speak with you, to pray with you, to minister to you this morning. God is good. How you doing? How you doing? That's the title of my sermon this morning. How you doing? It's become the standard greeting many times. Really, it's a greeting. It seems like it's a greeting and not a question. Because sometimes when we ask that question, do we really mean what we're asking? But it is a good question because it's good when somebody is concerned about how we're doing. And sometimes we're not doing too good. You know, somebody here this morning. You know, sometimes it's a health question, how you doing, but not all the time. Yeah, how's your mind? Yeah. How's your spirit this morning? We're glad you came. Oh, definitely, no doubt. Whether you're a member here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, whether you're a guest, a visitor, we are so glad that you came. God is happy that we are meeting in his name. We are meeting in his name, aren't we? But life has a way of catching us off guard sometimes. Sometimes surprises happen. Sometimes just a culmination of mistakes we made happen. They come to a head. And I just want to ask the question, how you doing this morning? Hopefully we're doing good. But this is life, and we know that every day is not sunshine, even when the sun is shining. I want to take a text this morning from the book of 1 Thessalonians and see if we can learn something from God's word this morning. As the Apostle Paul, he's writing to, this is one of his letters, he's writing to the church at Thessalonica. It was one of the churches that he was instrumental in establishing through the preached word, but he's not with them. And I love it that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that God, I mean, we serve a real God. And the Bible is so practical if we'd allow it to speak to us and allow it to help us. And here, through the Holy Spirit, God the Father, he sends this message to Paul's ministry, his heart, to pen this. And it's a message that is sincere. You can tell it's so sincere. And God can use us. God can use anybody if we'd allow him to do it. Listen as he writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 17, it says, "But we, brethren," and he's speaking of himself, "having been taken away from you for a short while," and Paul, the church is established. Of course, he's preaching the gospel, and Paul's is in prison. And oftentimes he had to be hustled out of a city because folk just didn't want him preaching the word. And he's away from, he says, away for you for a short time in person, but not in spirit. Not in spirit. So he's away from them, but his mind is on them. And we can relate to that because when we're not with those who we love, and you know, we've taken a trip, but something called us away, and something happened, and you're thinking about somebody you love. See, these are words that come from folk who care about you. And so he writes this letter. And one of the things that we know testifies that he cares, because he writes to them. And I don't know about you, but I have a hard time writing. I write what I need to write. And my wife was a writer, and she still likes to write and write notes. And it take time to write stuff. Yeah. And it takes thought, you know, to write. How many raise your hand if you like to write, right? Like to write. That's a gift. It's a gift. There has to be motivation behind it. But if you like to write, use that. Use it. Use it in so many ways. And he says, "Not in spirit, were all the more eager with great desire to see your face." I've got some preaching points, some teaching points. My first one is as Christians, as children of God, we need to have genuine concern for each other. And now we can't fully, you know, God has put us in families, and thank God he has. And if you're married, your first priority is your family. Amen. For the husband, for the wife, for the children, our first priority is to God, is to obey God. But if we are in family, our first priority, that's where our training ground is, our growing ground, our learning ground. But there are more people in the world than your family, and our family, and my family. And we are, if you're baptized into Jesus Christ, you're in God's family, and we are family. And Paul demonstrates this genuine concern he has for the saints. And I was thinking about that. I say, we got to show concern for each other. I think we do a pretty good job here at the Field Ward Church of Christ. I say a pretty good job, but it depends. It depends. Because, see, some of us in the church, we think that the leaders are the only ones supposed to show concern. Now, don't, if it's not you, don't even worry about it. But this is not just for the elders. It's not just for the deacons. It's not just for the preachers. It's for all of us to be concerned about one another. Amen? I hope you agree with that. Now, and concern, see, I don't have time for concern. Don't mean that you have to go spend 3 hours with anybody, but it does mean it takes some growth. Listen to what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, and I love this, that it comes from the leader first, because if the leadership is not concerned about nobody, we in trouble. Amen. Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, he said, "For I have no one else of kindred spirit he says, of like spirit. This is one of his prison epistles, and this is the church at Philippi. Now, not only was he concerned for the saints in Thessalonica, this is in Philippi. He says, I have no one else, and he's going to send Timothy to them. And he says, I have no one else who has the like spirit that I have, the genuine concern that I have for you, who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. He says, and you know that there are some preachers, there are some leaders who are not concerned about folk, they're just concerned about money. Amen. They concerned about what's the collection today. Yeah. Amen. They concerned about you know, for sure. And I say that. He says, genuinely concerned about your welfare. We're gonna investigate what that means. For they all seek after their own interests, Paul says. See, there are some folk who only concern about their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. We have some good elders here at the Field Wall Church of Christ. Now, you might not say that. Some of you might not say that. But I know these men. And they are not sinless, perfected, but they care about people. Now, we all need to do a better job, amen? Yeah, we all need to do a better job of checking on each other and calling each other and writing each other and being concerned about each other. But I believe we have some good elders. I told you, I think last Sunday that, we're about to call a body again, and I say the body. Now, you might get a call in here. Those of you that's in here, you might get a call, and that's good. But do you know that we have 1,000? I know I'm close. We have at least 1,000 members on our roll who don't come to church. You realize that? That's on our. I should say on our delinquent list. Some of you are on there because you don't scan your card or you don't fill out the card. and I know, you know, we need to get better at that, don't we? But there are so many, and you know, we know some of them move but they're still on our church roll. Somebody has to be concerned because every person is a soul. Every person, young and old, is a soul. And we need to at least know where they are. And if you don't have leadership who's concerned, folk come and go, people miss, and we do, but they can't do it by themselves. And so we need everybody's help. We need everybody's help to be concerned. See, that's some folk you know that I don't even know. Amen. And so we'll talk about that more at another day. So, Brother Gary, what do you mean concerned for what? What does the Bible mean when it says they was concerned about their welfare, concerned for what? Well, in this text, I don't have time. I'm going to finish the rest of this tonight. The Lord says the same. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. And let me just read this, and then we'll talk about it. It says, for we wanted to come to you, verse 18, I, Paul, more than once, and yet Satan hindered us. Now, you know, Satan's been around for a long time. And it's amazing how Satan will help you do what's evil, but he will hinder you from doing what's good. Satan will, if you got some devilment on your mind, Satan will open every door for you to do it. Give you every opportunity. I don't need to give you examples, but you make your mind up that you're going to call somebody, you're going to write somebody, that you're going to do good for somebody, that you're going to do a ministry, you're going to have a Bible class, and Satan will put all kind of obstacles and excuses in our way. And Paul wanted to come back to Thessalonica more than once, and he was unable to come. Some of it was because of evil men, some of it was because of circumstances. And he said, Satan hindered us. I hope we can recognize when it's Satan. And because Satan can stop us. Satan tried to stop some of you from coming here this morning. You know it. Mm-hmm. He tried to get in my house this morning. I'm not talking about Sister KB now. Verse 19, for who is our hope, our joy, our crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and our joy. Lord have mercy. Now go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're in chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. Underline that term. As to your faith. So that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. For indeed we were with you. We kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. So it came to pass as to you. For this reason, when I couldn't do it no longer, I also sent to find out, underline this, about your faith. For fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Verse 6. But now Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love. I want to read the rest of it, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. But you say concerned for what? First of all, Paul was concerned about their faith. If you read all the way down through verse number 11, the word faith comes up at least 6 times about your faith. That's what he was concerned most about. What do we want most for our children? Yeah, we want them. Hopefully they can get a pretty good education. If they're children, they need a good education. They do need a good education. We want them to be successful. Yeah, who doesn't want their child to be successful? Yeah, I want my child to be successful. Yeah. What is that? What does that look like? Yeah. Once they grow up, you want them to marry a good man or a good woman, a decent spouse. Yeah, I was thinking about that. Yeah, surely you want to get a good job so they can stay out your house. Get out and stay out. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with none of that. Nothing wrong with any of that. But are we concerned about our children's faith? Are we concerned about what's going on in our kids' heads? What they believe? Are we concerned if they are in the Lord? Yeah. See, Paul recognized that. Yeah, you know, I established the congregation there. We taught them the gospel. They are in Christ. And I want to two groups. These individuals he's writing to are in Christ Jesus. You see, listen, don't fall into this foolishness. Don't believe this foolishness that once you've been baptized, once you say, it's rampant all in the world. Once you say, you always say. There is this battle that we will have until we die. We need to stay in the faith. Amen. Yeah, and Paul recognized that. He knew when he left there were going to be grievous wars coming in. All these doctrines, all these teachings, all these philosophies, all these gods. And you know, there were a lot back then. I believe today there is even more. Teachings, infiltrations, and internet, all this information, and our kids, our friends, our brothers, our sisters are being exposed to it. And that's why we as children of God need to stay in the Word of God.
Amen.
Stay in the faith.
Amen.
Stay focused. You know you need to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Yeah, I mean, that's some things we know. And Paul knew what they're going to be faced with. That's the same thing, you know, you have kids in your house. Boy, every opportunity, if you're a daddy, every opportunity you need to be putting the word in them. Every opportunity to pray. If your child is going, pray with it. Pray at the dinner table. Pray when they get up in the morning. Pray before they go to bed at night. Instill the faith in them while you have them. Because when you don't have them, when you are away for a time, for a season, no telling what's going to happen to them. What they're going to be exposed to. And Paul knew that. That's why he kept saying, he says, I sent Timothy to encourage you as to your faith. Yeah. Some churches, we're blessed. We live in Houston, the fourth largest, swiftly becoming the third largest city in the United States. And we have numbers, but some churches won't grow in great numbers just because of geography, just because of where they're located. They won't grow. And while I do believe that if a church does not grow in numbers, eventually it's going to die out. Why? Because just the law of in mathematics, we all going to get old. If you don't start replacing some of these members, whether with children. And so I do believe that we ought to be trying to save folk and add folk to our bodies. But in some cases, some churches don't have that liberty because of where they are. But that's not the most important question. I hope that you don't get disillusioned, because we've set goals here. We say we want to try to baptize 100 souls this year. And yes, we do. We set that goal, but it's not about the numbers. That's not the most important. The most important thing is that we are growing in our faith. Our faith is not weaker than it was last year, but it's stronger. We are more grounded. We are learning. We are growing in the Lord. Because when you're not growing, guess what's happening? Yeah. That's what happens. That's why we all have to challenge ourselves. If you only know 6 books of the Bible, you need to learn 10. Amen, somebody. Yeah, you know, some of us, we are experts in one thing. I love the book of James. Well, that's more in the Bible than the book of James. What are you saying, Brother Gary? We all have room to grow in. Some of us think we know everything about the Church of Christ because we've been in the church for 40 years. Yeah. And so he was number one. He was concerned about their faith. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Listen to verse 7. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about your faith. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. Verse 10, as we night and day kept praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith, is what he says. Yeah. Also, not just genuine concern for even our spiritual needs, but even our physical needs. You know, Paul was concerned about them. They were concerned about him. Listen to Philippians, not just in Thessalonica. Well, you see, they were also, but listen to Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Philippians 4:10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now that at last you have revived your concern for me. This is earthly concern. Your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. See, when Paul established the church at Philippi, they were concerned about him, but they couldn't get anything to him. They couldn't connect with him. But now they could. And they sent physical needs. And we know that Thessalonica sent a physical brother to Paul. In Epaphroditus, the church of Philippi did. Listen to 2 John chapter 1 and verse number 2. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and that you may be in good health just as your soul prospers. So when the scripture speaks about concern, it's talking about our spiritual needs, concern, you know. And sometimes we get offended when folk act like they're concerned about us, you know, especially the leaders. I don't like everybody in my business. But I see, if the elders ask a member, if the elders call and ask a member, they're concerned about your soul. They have the right to ask about your soul. Yeah, because they have to give an account as being a shepherd. They have the right to say, you know, little sister, I haven't been seeing you, and I'm just concerned about you. Why? And that's priority, is our soul. You know what else I'm concerned about? I'm concerned about our homes, our marriages. Just don't let our marriages keep us out of heaven. Yeah. Let me say, some of the brothers, I have had a brother say to me, yeah, you sure be hard on the brothers. I'm sorry. I'm not really sorry. It's just that God made you the head of the home. And I always start with the brothers. So can I just say something to your brothers? Look here. Brothers. It's a dangerous world out here, and I know there's temptation out there, but you need to get in the Word. You need to get in a ministry. You need to be in the Lord, because Satan wants you. Amen. And when Satan get through with you, you won't be good for nobody, including your wife. Amen. Don't play that game. It's too dangerous, and it's too dangerous. And it's pleasure for a moment. And you know what? The moment is so short, it ain't worth it. If my wife would treat me better. Sisters, can I say something? Christian sisters, treat your husband good. Amen. Treat him like your king. He's your husband. You can't trade him. It's too late to trade him. Sister, build him up. Yes. Build him up. supporting, encouraging. Love him. Stop looking at everybody else, comparing your husband to other folk. I wish my husband. Don't do that, because you don't know what you're doing anyway.
Amen.
See, you don't know what you're doing. Some of these brothers in here look sharp and look like they, you know, they sweet to their wife here, but you don't know what you don't know what's going on at home. Just build your husband up, love him, obey God, and look, don't. God will bless you.
Yes, sir.
Even if he don't change, God will take care of him. Don't be wishing God. So, don't be wishing God take him out. Don't pray that. Don't pray that kind of prayer. I'm saying this because you know what God wants for your home. The church needs good families.
Amen.
And so let's do better. Can we try to do better, church, in our homes? Talk to each other better. Stop hollering and screaming. Stop fussing all the time. Everything ain't worth an argument. Stop overanalyzing everything. Start learning how to say, I love you, I'm sorry, I just misunderstood you, I forgive you. And do right. Come home. Talk to each other. Call each other. Communicate with each other. Sisters, cook for that man. I said too much, didn't I? I'm sorry, sisters. Buy him something. Brothers, cook for that woman. That balance it out. Listen, yeah, you see, we're not in heaven yet. And we got to be genuinely concerned for each other. That's so much more I could say about the church, you know, we on earth, the church ministered to Paul's physical needs. They sent Epaphroditus to him to minister. No, the scripture says to minister to his needs. I don't know, you know, and see, needs could be a number of different things. They ministered to him financially. And so the scripture just says be concerned, and every different people have different needs, and he's going to be concerned for their welfare. Okay, I got 6 minutes for a second point. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 19, it says, for who is our hope? That's not, I love the way Paul, when he wrote, for instance, in verse 17, he says, but we. He didn't talk down to anybody. Even in his writing, he's a preacher. He's anointed by God, but he talked where people could hear him. He says, for who is our hope? And so what he was saying is, I'm talking to you, but I want you to understand that this goes for you also. And he says, he didn't say who is my hope. He said, who is our hope? Our joy, our crown of exaltation. And he uses this term. He says, it is not even you He used the term crown. It's like Paul says, and Paul was in distress a lot. And he says, it uses the term crown. It's a word that most of the time represents victory. Who is our crown of boasting, or who is our strength? And you know what he said? My strength, what motivates me, what keeps me going, what keeps him going is the people that he's led to Christ Jesus. He said, yeah, I'm distressed, but I'm so happy because I know that you are in the faith and you are still striving, and I played a small part in leading you to Christ. Oh, my goodness gracious. See, listen to Romans. Go to Romans chapter 15, verse 17. He's not bragging, but it's still. And see, why are you saying this, Brother Gary? Because some of us in the body of Christ, see, we are in Christ Jesus, but you have not experienced one of the greatest joys, one of the greatest motivators, is not only when you are in Christ, it's when you, now you might not necessarily sit down and talk them a Bible class, but you use your influence to lead somebody else to Christ. You don't have to be a preacher to do this. But there is so, if you are a man in your house, if you are a mother in your house, single or married, and you see your child get baptized into Jesus Christ, that's a beautiful thing. I'm telling you. You know that they have you. They hadn't necessarily, because we all on this earth, and you know, still afraid for the things that they're gonna face. But you're saying, you know what? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because you know now they're under the blood. Yeah, and Paul, he writes this in his letter to them. He says, for who is our joy? And he was trying to teach them, but not to be bragging about, I baptized somebody, or I did this, or I did that. Romans 15:17. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. And Paul could, because he led a lot of people to Christ. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word or deed. Paul says, I've been responsible for leading a whole lot of folk to Christ. I could boast if I wanted to, but I won't do that because I can't do nothing without the help of the Lord. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:31, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Yeah, boast in the Lord. And I said that because we all need to use our influence to lead people to Christ. You know, one difficult thing, I was talking to a brother just a couple of days ago, might have been yesterday, I was talking to a brother and said, you know what? It's becoming to me more and more challenging to lead people to Christ because of the so much exposure people have with all this other stuff. And some people think they're already saved. And I say more, I didn't say it becomes more challenging because it requires more of us. See, you can't be faking and shaking. You can't be thinking just because you got some Bible knowledge, you're going to sit down and teach somebody and they're going to understand and they're going to obey it. People have to know that, first of all, you are genuinely concerned about them. Amen. Not their pocketbook, not just a number on our books. Can you imagine how exciting it will be on Judgment Day, and we stand before God and we hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful service. But how exciting it would be if you see others that I don't want to start naming names, but you see others who you see your children and some of your cousins that you invited to a Bible class, to a retreat, to summer Richmond, a summer camp, and they heard the word of God. You sit down and talk the word of God. You sit down and taught them a Bible class. You were in their homes. And they are members of the body of Christ. And see, the greatest gift, you want to give somebody something, the greatest gift we can give anybody is the opportunity for eternal life. Yeah. That's the greatest gift we could give anybody. We may not know it yet. I'm going to finish the rest tonight. But this text, this passage touched me because not only this one, there are some other corollary passages that when Paul, you read his emotion when he writes back. And I say, you know what? Paul really cared for people. He cared for these folk. They go back and check on churches. And I was thinking about that. I say, I wonder at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, do we really care for each other? Do we? I heard three people say yes. I'm not trying to die. I say it because, see, it's easy, especially to come to a congregation our side. It's easy to kind of disappear. It's easy to just, well, Gary, I just want to come to worship. That's okay for a minute. And that's why are you saying it, Brother? Because we understand life. Life bruises, life battles, life's hurts, and sometimes you don't want to be bothered. You want to chill. I just want to hear the sermon, and I want to get my church. I want to feel like I'm serving God. That's good, but don't stay there. That's the devil. You can't see, because all of us, we need God, but God has us on this earth to help and encourage each other. And if the leaders are not genuinely concerned for one another while we're here, how we think we're going to be with God? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for all of us. And so what are you saying? I'm saying, let's pray that the Lord will help us to heal some of us. Some of us, we need to heal. You know, I know people treat us bad. They our past relationships, but sisters, every man is not a dog. And if you choose not to marry no more, praise the Lord. That might be the best thing for you. It very well may be. You know what? You look at the women in the Bible who ministered to Jesus. You know, it seemed like to me what they said is that, you know what? I'm going to make it to heaven. I'm going to follow Jesus because Jesus is the only perfect one. And if you don't need to be with a man, leave him alone. Brothers, serve God. Amen. Serve God. Find your place. Find your ministry. Find your work. Find your purpose in God. What are you trying to do, Brother? I'm just trying to encourage. I see the way Paul wrote to the church, and I recognize in this life, we need some encouragement. I mean, you just, and it's something that just don't, we just, you, it just don't happen one day or one Sunday. We need encouragement every day. This morning, I'm going to tell you, I'm just be totally honest with you. You know, sometimes I feel so ready to preach. I feel so happy. I'm like, I can't wait to preach this. But some Sunday, this morning, I don't know what hit me. I was coming to church and I'm like, I just felt like just drained. Just like I'm like, Lord have mercy. Boy, I was sitting over there earlier, and I was singing, and I'm like, boy, I could sit this out. The devil. What number the devil? And brother, Brother Patch sang that last song, and I say, I'm finna get up and preach the word of God. And sometimes that's what you have to do. You just have to get up. You have to, and you need to, we need each other to lift it. You here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. You need to be baptized into the family of God. We got some issues. We got some problems. But we all trying to make it to heaven together. The Bible says you come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, and it takes humility to do that. If you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes. If you're willing to follow through and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin, God adds you to his family. And we're trying to live for God till we die. Till we die. You hear, you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you. If you're here and you need to get something right with God, we'll pray for you for that also. So won't you come right now as we stand?
When the Savior calls, I will answer.
When he calls for me, I will hear him.
When the Savior calls,
I will answer.
I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Oh, I'll be somewhere
listening.
Yes, I'll be somewhere
listening.
I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere
listening.
I'll be somewhere
listening.
I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart is right,
oh, when he
calls me,
if my heart is right,
I will hear him.
If my heart is right,
when he calls me,
I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Oh, I'll be somewhere
listening.
Yes, I'll be somewhere
listening.
I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Yes, I'll be somewhere
listening.
I'll be somewhere
listening.
I'll be somewhere
listening for
you,
my
you can still
name.
Come if you need to come.
If my robe is white,
when he
calls me. If